what would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Well, hello there, listeners of St. John Forward Radio. I am the titular John Forward, and if you're listening to this live, it is Monday night at 9 p.m., and you're listening to it on local 107.3 FM, or maybe online at localfm.ca. Some of you might be listening to it on johnforward.com. Some of you might be up listening to this, and it might be 10 o'clock on Friday night now. Who knows? But I'm living here on Monday night, so that's how I'm going to roll while I'm here. Just had an interesting weekend, which I'll talk about in a moment. But the elephant in the room, if you're a regular listener of St. John Forward Radio, you're aware that I've had some local comedy scene frustrations that I've been yammering on about for these past couple of weeks, but I think I've found a new piece, and I'm ready for the next stage of my life. 'Cause I'd always found it frustrating that people in the city only really, like, we talk about city on fire, yay, yay, rah, rah, everything's happening. But really, the only stuff that anybody really gets excited about is when something cool from the outside comes here. Whether it's James Mullinger moving here from London, or CBC Radio coming in to do a show, or Yuck Yuck's coming, or Just for Laughs, it's all... seems those are all things that have come to our city because things are going so great, but you never hear about the things that brought those things to this city. And I realized this weekend that I've been kind of doing the same thing. While begrudging the audiences, myself as a comedian, I've been kind of guilty of the same thing. When James Mullinger first came around, I thought, that's my ticket. I'll ride his coattails to fame. And I did a couple of shows with him, and they were great shows and great experiences. I got to do like a road gig and stay in a hotel and have meals and booze paid for. That was fun, but it dried up for unknown reasons that there's no sense in speculating as the reasons why. And then the same thing happened when our new fancy club opened up. I thought, okay, the Mullinger thing didn't work out. This is my ticket to fame. This professional stand-up comedy club has come to town, and I'm going to be so diplomatic it hurts. And since the beginning of even considering it happening, I've tried to be super diplomatic. Everybody's down on it. Oh, the big bad comedy corporation's coming to town to ruin our scene. And I've tried to be diplomatic. I tried to say this could be good for us having a weekly show. The high tide raises all ships. And that I could get in there and I could get the John Forward face and words out there to more people that that might not be too keen on coming to a karaoke dive bar to see comedy. And that might have been an avenue for me. But as we've heard over the last few weeks, that dream has pretty well fizzled. I could probably kiss enough butts to get back in their good graces, but I don't know how fickle it is. So I'm just going to stop worrying about it. I'm going to stop begging. I'm going to stop sucking up. Not that I was like super sucking up before anyway, but I'm just going to stop trying. If they were to offer me something, I would consider it. I'm not 100% sure on what the answer would be, but I would consider it. But I want to focus on the stuff that I do have going. I created my own show, No Jokes Barred, and it's been running for 2.5 years, and that's a lot of people's favorite comedy room to do, and I get to do it every single month. And the O'Leary show is great too, and I get to do that one every single month. I think I've graciously given up my spot once or twice, but nobody else gets to do two No Jokes Barred shows every month, and that's something that I should be happy about. There's a lot of people that probably would like to, but I gotta rotate it through and give everybody their chance. I get to hope in for a comedian that I've previously heard of when I do the K. Trevor Wilson show at Chuckles in June. That's pretty exciting, and since I've started doing comedy, and especially since I started running my own shows, I've met a lot of great new friends, and my closest friends going now are all people that I've met through comedy, and we have a good time. We do shows together. After the show, we often hang out and have drinks together. We get together and we make videos. We do each other's podcasts and radio shows. I talk to comedians every day, and it has enriched my life, and I'm happy about that. And I don't care about the stuff that I'm not getting, because there's plenty that I am getting. And so, as part of wanting to focus on my own stuff, I want to use the venue that I have. I've already got No Jokes Barred going, so how can I make the most of that? And we've got a show coming up this Friday, April 7th, and I'll be headlining this one. It's the 1 year anniversary of my headline bomb that you can read about on my website from last year. But I wanted to get the word out, and I've been doing Facebook ads, I've been doing various things. I'm doing this radio show just to put some more content out there, but I want to reach more people, and this past weekend there was a big Just for Laughs showcase show going on at our local comedy franchise, and that was 3 nights, and we also had the Mullinger's Bootcamp thing on Sunday, so that was going to be 4 nights in a row of people that spent between $15 and $25 on a comedy ticket. So those are comedy fans. So I printed up 300 flyers and I hit the streets, and I handed out all those flyers over the weekend. I've had some other comedians there helping me out. I won't name their names just in case that gets anybody in trouble. I don't know. You know who you are, and I appreciate it. I handed out lots of flyers and talked to a lot of people that seemed very interested. When my pitch was generally, as people were walking by, I said, $7 comedy show next Friday at O'Leary's, no sponsors, no jokes barred. And that was a good hook, and it brought people in. Anybody that wanted to further conversate about it, I played up the local angle. It's locally produced, and No Jokes Barred has been going for 2.5 years now. The actual O'Leary's version that I was handing out flyers for, less time than that, 1.5 years, but they don't need to know that. And lots of people seemed interested in the supporting the local thing. A lot of people were confused and thought that I was with Yuck Yucks, but I told them I was not. And not that there's anything wrong with that kind of a thing, but I said, no, this is a locally produced thing. This has been going for years. Doesn't have anything to do with it. And everybody seemed cool with it. Not a single person was like, hey, what are you doing outside here handing out flyers for your own show? Everybody that I talked to was into it, or just kept walking and didn't take a flyer, and I didn't bug them. I did get the distinct impression that the owner of the club was mildly annoyed with me. I don't know. I just had a feeling about it. So I moved it back, on subsequent nights. Thursday night, I was pretty close to where the door ended, and that may have been too close. We picked up and we moved like 100-150 feet away into the main part of the alley. Just I'm meeting them halfway, and but it was a very overall positive experience. Aside from that little bit of annoyance that I somehow picked up on, there was a couple of people mouthing off on the internet, a couple of preemptive company men. Keep fighting the good fight. Those people in Toronto are looking at your Facebook posts, and your contracts are surely in the mail. Good job, guys. But it doesn't matter what any of those people think. They don't have any opinion that has any bearing on anything that I'm doing, so it doesn't matter. So I'm just going to focus on promoting my own stuff. I'm going to try not to spiral out too much when other people don't behave the way that I expect them to. And the flip side of that is I'm not going to worry too much about it when other people get upset when I don't behave the way that they expect me to. So all I'm going to do is hope that my hard work this weekend pays off and we get a lot of people out to the show on Friday and hopefully some repeat customers if they have a good time. And if not, then I feel bad that they made a bad decision with their life. They can go back to the other place if they want to. But I'm hoping we're going to put on a good show and that at least some of those people will come back. Whoever's there, we're going to put on a good show for them. But one person who will be there is my guest, Chris Trotter. Which microphone are you using? You got them both in front of
yes,
you.
Yes, I do.
I'm like bi, right? So
pick a microphone, you greedy.
Okay, is this number one? I'll pick number one.
That's number two. I get number one.
Oh,
you've got number three.
I'll take number three then.
So,
three
hello, Chris.
Is the loneliest number. Hello.
Welcome to St. John Forward Radio.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, and we'll chat some more after the break, but you've just heard me ramble for 10 minutes, so we're going to play a little bit of a song. I'm not sure how to pronounce this band's name. It's spelled S-U-U-N-S. I don't know if it's Suns, Soons, or something else, but I'm going to play Resistance. And it's a little bit of a slow burn, but give it a chance. It'll pick up. It's a good song. On St. John Forward Radio. We'll be back.
Resist. 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 Resist.
resist on Say Jump Forward
Radio. Fight the man.
That's right. There's no man to fight. I'm just fighting for my right to exist, and that's all it is. So, how you doing, Chris?
I'm great. It's super great fun to be here. Thank you.
Do people ever make crisscross jokes?
No.
I was gonna tell you to pump it up, Chris. But you probably don't even know what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
a little bit. Spells his name the same way I do, right?
Yeah. You need to start wearing your pants on backwards, I think.
Okay, I'll work on that.
So, Chris Trotter, local comedian, how are you doing tonight?
Super. Monday night, woo. I enjoyed your intro or your, you know, your...
Thank you.
Diatribe. It was very Buddhist, actually. You know,
well,
peace, love.
Well, yeah, we spoke about that last time I was over, and I am a little curious about it. I'm trying to be more zen, I guess, even though I don't entirely have the full grasp of the word. I read the book Zen and the Art of Archery, and I found it helpful. I should probably reread it again. It's only a tiny little book, it's not very long. Which is, everybody's, the one that I've mostly heard about is the Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, right, or something, but, I've never even touched a motorcycle. I did teach archery at Hampton Bible Camp, so, I thought that was a better fit.
Great.
I don't remember any of the lessons learned from it, but I remember that there were some. Maybe, hopefully I've just internalized them rather than just forgot everything.
And that's what Buddhism is, you know. Yeah. It's, yeah, I think everybody knows Buddhism ultimately is we're all connected, even if there's some friction, you know, so.
Yeah. Yes, and you seem like a very calm person. I've never, considering on the local St. John comedians, I've never heard you whine and complain about whether this person's getting booked on this show and why not me. How do you do it, Chris?
Of all the things in my life, comedy's not the one I'm going to get stressed over. It's just a hobby for me. I'm stunned by how fun it is, how much there is to learn, and how much money you can make. And I think it's such a blessing to have a hobby that they pay you the money that they do. Not that, you know, anybody's getting rich, or certainly not me. Yeah. But if I learned guitar and took one class, you know, people wouldn't pay me, you know, $200 in a weekend to play my little songs, but they do with the jokes. So yeah. I'm happy.
well, that's kind of an anomaly to our little corner of the comedy universe. The way that you hear it, like professional comedians talk about, and in bigger places, like to even get the 10 bucks that I can usually scrounge together at the R bar, like that doesn't happen for at least like 5 years.
Wow.
And so yeah, we are in a unique position where we can get like $200 paying weekends, and like, and I include myself in that. I'm if I was in a big city, I don't know if I'd be making a nickel, but we get to make a little bit and we get to have fun, and yeah, I want to treat it more like a hobby. Mm-hmm. A hobby that I take seriously and that I'm passionate about.
Right.
But I don't know. I think once you get your mind full of dollar signs and career prospects, that's when things get a little icky.
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I didn't do. I'm not trying to, if I get any bigger, if I get asked in other cities, yay, I'll go. But it's not my aim, and therefore I think I'm having a lot more fun, or I may be having more fun than some other people that can get stressed about it, you know?
Yeah. And a little bit of stress is good for just encouragement, and it pushes you to work harder. But
definitely.
I don't know, just obsessing over it when there isn't really, it's not like we have somebody that we can look to, like Canadian comedy person. That's who I want to, like, because even the best people that are touring across this country are still just scraping by from what I can tell, and yeah, still have to ride people's couches and open and go to a club where everyone hates them and everybody is bad. And like, even people like Kathleen McGee and Darren Frost, who are some of the best Canadian comedians that I'm aware of, one summer, and we had them both passing through St. John, and we tried to put together a gig for them, and I think they were both at Callahan's on a Wednesday night. Not different Wednesday nights, but like 10 people there, tops.
Wow. Yeah. And if, no glory.
if that's what we're aspiring to, I'm not interested in that anyway.
Right.
So just do what we're doing, and maybe something will present itself, but there's no reason to chase it. It either is going to happen or it's not.
Mm-hmm. I think you might agree, John, that part of the thrill for me is you just get to get a mic in your hand and tell people what you've been thinking about lately or reading or, you know, because I tend to take stuff out of the newspaper, which I shouldn't because I find out most people don't know what I'm talking about. But I get to talk about what I'm thinking about and put a spin on it and then get an envelope with money in it. You know, like it's a win, you know, and like you said, meet all these nice people. So
I'm happy. It's a good way to express yourself.
Yeah.
This probably isn't the case for you, but like when I don't have a microphone, I'm kind of a quiet person. So I don't often get the chance to just pontificate and say what my opinions are. But, you know, a couple of times a month I get to talk into a microphone. And everybody has to shut up and listen.
That's it.
But yeah, it's cathartic. Do you find getting stuff, or well, have you, I can't think of any instances where you've, certainly not in the same way that I do, where I kind of unload my baggage on the stage. I don't know if I've ever seen you do that. Have you ever had a night where you just needed to kind of unburden yourself and you were in a bad mood and just getting it off your chest made you feel better?
That's a great question for me right now. Lately, I've been going through a bit of a hard time in my personal life. I'm not, you know, complaining or anything, but usually I'm very happy and I have a sweet life, but right now I've got a big struggle and dilemma on my hands, so I find I'm not as cheerful lately. I've been a bit cranky and a bit down, which I don't like to be, and I have a show coming up on Friday. I'm hosting, so I don't have to do big amounts of material, but it's like, well, what's that going to be like? Because usually Ken Bolton, my comedy teacher, always said, your thing, Chris, is that you're charming. Mm. And I don't know if he said this, but I see myself as kind of bubbly and kind of puckish, you know? And right now I'm kind of a moody puck or something, you know? So I'm not sure how that's going to come across. But when I'm at O'Leary's on Friday, I'm going to do a bit about that's personal, about how basically I screwed up and I called my girlfriend the name of my ex-girlfriend and how that went down, you know? So I'm going to do a bit about that and how I'm in the doghouse right now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think sometimes I do stuff from my personal life. But
well,
I don't know. I don't know what I do.
I always like, and it's just a personal taste thing, like my favorite comedians are the kind of the people that leave a piece of themselves up on the stage. And
I've done stuff on being gay.
Yeah.
When I started out, I did.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I definitely.
I've talked about, I'm a counselor. I've talked about that. So
yeah, we definitely know Chris Trotter, but I'm interested to see the dark side.
I see. Okay. Yeah. You know, I don't do that much dark stuff, partly because I am a counselor.
Yeah.
I think I do have to be careful. When I started out, I didn't realize that it would sometimes be filmed and put on the internet. And there's nothing on the internet that I've done that I totally wish wasn't there, but I worry a little bit. Like, there's, you know, like all kinds of people that are, you know, my clients or the parents of my clients, my potential clients that might be, you know, I don't know, Baptists or something, or if you get my drift. And I've got a joke about I used to weigh 115 pounds soaking wet, and now I'm neither. And I think, you know, I know my brother saw that and he was like, ah, you know. So I'm on the cleaner side and the happier side in general. I'll leave the darker side to the people I'm introducing I'm a host.
Well, the filming and the internet thing is kind of a double-edged sword. Like, it's nice that that can exist, and if you want to, you can show somebody this is what I do, but I don't know. I think it'll get older and older,
right?
I think it stays out there. I've only got a few videos of me doing stand-up online, and part of it is because, I don't want to be looking for a job and have somebody Google my name and have a bit about me getting filleted by a pile of guts come up. I don't know if this guy is a good choice, but it's weird. There was stuff early on that I didn't bother doing, not so much just because it was dirty, like just different things. I don't know. There's some topics I didn't broach because I was worried about that, but the more I've done it, the more I realize that the average person doesn't really care, and like a lot of people aren't going to be seeing it anyway, but there still is the chance that it's going to be on there, and I don't know. It's kind of disappointing that I think the way that comedy's meant to be is kind of like a should be something that happens in private. Like even big professional comedians, like if they want to try something a bit questionable, you used to be able just to throw it out there in a club, and if it didn't go well, then you're like, okay, maybe that wasn't a good idea.
It's live theater, right? It's even though it's not a play, it's live theater. So
right, yeah.
But if
Kramer's going to do his N-word material, that's gonna get out on the internet, and you can't just even in a place where you're not supposed to film and stuff, you have to. Everybody's got to have that extra level of being careful, which can be good. I don't know. I don't think that you should just say whatever without any consideration for it. But
on the other hand, a room has a feel, so you get a feel for the room, and you think, oh, I can do this here.
Yeah.
And then it's on the internet, and that's not that room, and it right. just doesn't go over. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can take it out of context and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's just more pure when it can just exist in the moment. You don't need to worry, like, if I blow it, well, then I'm screwed forever.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I feel like that's kind of what the R bar can be, I guess. Well, the no jokes bar, like I don't think those ones generally get filmed unless the people want to be filmed. I've filmed my own sets just for my own reference to watch it back and see what worked and what didn't. I don't have a lot of. I don't usually post those to be available. It's more of a learning tool. But I don't know. I feel like creating that environment where people are comfortable to take those risks and they don't need to worry about somebody going off and tattling to whatever. And like what happened to me back in September when I did a big show for the corporation, I made a decision. Well, this material worked the last two nights, so probably be okay. And that ended up being a mistake. And instead of just being a mistake that I had to deal with that night, it's still a problem for me 6 months later.
Yeah, it's a trouble with the big leagues, I guess.
Yep.
You know, the new pitcher doesn't win the game, and that's the last we see of him, you know? So it's not fair in the grand scheme of things.
No, but whatever. That's why I made my thing, and I'll continue using my thing where I don't need to worry about it, and I'll give the same opportunity to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But let's take a break. And we'll play your request. Do you wanna set that up for us? Tell us a little bit about the song you have chosen.
Okay. Well, I went to Bishop's University back in the 70s, and this is the song. The pub and the bars in Quebec stay open till 3, so every Friday night and every Saturday night, I would be in the Bishop's pub. And this is the song that they play when they're closing down, last call, no more songs, we're turning the lights off. So I was trained like a Pavlov's dog. When I hear this song, I know it's over. So I want this played at my funeral. And I also, then I won't come back and haunt anybody. I also think the words are fantastic. Start by admitting from cradle to tomb, it isn't that long a stay.
Well, I'm curious to hear it. I didn't actually listen to it.
Okay.
I am sort of familiar with who Liza Minnelli is, but I could not name.
Yeah, it's not about Liza Minnelli. It's about the movie Cabaret. Excellent movie. And Life is a Cabaret is the song, and I think life is a cabaret, and that's why I do stand up.
All right. Well, let's hear a little reminder of what station we're listening to, and then we'll hear Cabaret by Liza Minnelli on St. John Forward Radio.
St. John's Alternative Radio, local 107.3 FM.
good is sitting alone in your room? Come hear the music play. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Put down the knitting, the book and the broom. It's time for a holiday. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Come taste the wine, come hear the band, come blow your horn, start celebrating. Right this way, your table's waiting. What good's permitting some prophet of doom to wipe every smile away? Life is a cabaret, old chum, so come to the to have this girlfriend known as Elsie, with whom I shared four sordid rooms in Chelsea. She wasn't what you'd call a blushing flower. As a matter of fact, she rented by the hour. The day she died, the neighbors came to snicker. Well, that's what comes from too much pills and liquor. But when I saw her laid out like a queen, she was the happiest corpse I'd ever seen. I think of Elsie to this very day. I remember how she turned to me and said, "What good is sitting all alone in your room? Come hear the music play. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. And as for me, and as for me, I made my mind up back in Chelsea when I go. I'm going like Elsie. Start by admitting from cradle to tomb, it isn't that long a stay. Life is a cabaret, old chum. It's only a cabaret, old chum. And I love a cabaret.
And we're back on St. John Forward Radio, your source for all the show tunes.
Wasn't that a treat?
I'm into it. I liked it.
Good.
Is Liza Minnelli, is she the one that's on Arrested Development?
I have no idea. Oh, she's Judy Garland's daughter.
Okay. No, I know who Liza. I think she's the one that plays Lucille, too, on Arrested Development.
I don't watch TV.
Oh, okay.
I would think, is she like pickled? Like, I think Liza Minnelli's really burnt now.
Yeah, she plays kind of a weirdo, which is probably not a stretch.
Probably, yep.
Yeah. So, interesting song. I'm going to have to play something a little harder edged later on in the show
everybody.
To balance it out.
Okay. But, sorry, everybody.
I've had history. Guests come on that have had way worse requests than that. And I've told them.
That was a history lesson.
No, it was good. I'm not making fun of it. I was into it.
Good. That's for Ken.
I always forget to give out the phone number. If anyone wants to join the conversation, you can call us at 506-648-5925.
And I am a trained psychotherapist, so if you're in distress, John and I will take your call. Yeah.
So tell us about yourself, Chris. So far, we know you're Buddhist, you're a therapist, and you're a lesbian.
Yep.
What else is going on?
What else do I need?
Or elaborate on any of those.
Oh, gosh. Elaborate on those.
What makes you tick?
What makes me tick? It's hard to jump into. Once I get going, I'm sure I'll be fine. But
any childhood traumas we can get a good cry
absolutely.
On about?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We talked slightly in the car, John, on the way here about there's an... Like, obviously not all comics have this, but many comics are outsiders and many comics have traumas. And I certainly fit those two. I was born in Sudbury, Ontario, moved to Ottawa when I was 7. My father abducted myself and my brother and sister and took us to the Paw, Manitoba, 500 miles north of Winnipeg, on the Saskatchewan border.
Did you know you
February.
Were being abducted?
No. Okay. No, just picked us up at school on a Wednesday in February, get in the car, stopped at the SPCA in Ottawa and bought us a dog, put that dog in the back seat with the three kids and his girlfriend, shotgun, and off we went. And then we'd been there for 3 days, not unpacked, and as I remember, not power in the house yet, but that's impossible in the Paw in February. I was 9, almost 9. And knock at the door of the RCMP, my mother, when she found out we were gone, committed suicide.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's a trauma for you. And my dad's girlfriend, who he married that same year, turned out to be alcoholic and a gambler, so we grew up with no money, mood swings. She was very homophobic as I grew up gay. So tough stuff. And I've moved like God too many times to think about. And when I came to St. John 5 years ago, I didn't know anybody. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all that moving and not very deep family roots now makes me as an outsider. I feel like an outsider, not necessarily in a bad way. But I think standing on the edge like that, not having... you know, St. John or wherever I am as this context that I've had for all my life, lets me look at things slightly askew maybe. And some comedy comes from that, you know, and then just the great appreciation for laughing and how much we need to laugh on a Friday night or a Sunday afternoon or whenever these shows are or radio shows. We effing need to laugh. Because we're all sitting on stuff, you know? We don't know each other's stories.
That kind of unites us too. Yep. People that aren't necessarily like... I have a hard time going about my daily life interacting with normal people and making those kind of connections. But I guess when somebody else is a comedian or there's kind of an assumed built-in life experience and we've got a certain perspective, so it's easier for us to get along, I guess. It's also easier for us to get into fights with each other, too, as we've seen. But, I don't know. It unites us in a way, and it's nice to, like you said, grow up feeling like a bit of an outsider and just to have discovered your community is nice.
Mm-hmm.
And
comedy is nice, even if you don't have community, you know?
Yeah.
Making people laugh is warm, right?
Yeah. Well, like 10 years ago, I didn't think that I'd be hanging out with a woman of a certain age who's a lesbian that lives down the street from me either. But
we're practically neighbors.
Yeah, and we need to do it more often. How long have we known each other? Has it been? Well, I guess since you've been doing stand up.
Yeah, I think it was 2 years ago. I took Ken's comedy course and met you. Almost immediately upon graduation.
Yeah, and and we live in the same neighborhood, but it took us 2 years for the first time for us to hang out outside of a comedy setting, and it was a nice time. My wife and I went over and we watched a comedy DVD.
At my place.
And it was a fun time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for coming.
So, what else can we talk about? Well, you'd mentioned the alcoholic step girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went through a few of those after my mom divorced. I had a couple of drunks that my mom was dating, and yeah, I remember like going to like go skating somewhere and just have this guy like literally like, falling down, like couldn't even get out of the car, and I was just like, this guy is really bad at skating.
Did he have his skates on?
I think so. And yeah, just, and then we came, like, and I remember like being home when my mom had staged some sort of intervention with this guy where she had like all of the empty booze bottles like out on the couch, and
these are yours,
yeah, something like that. And just the, I don't know what you're talking about, I didn't drink those. It, yeah, there was lots of weird moments like that. Did you did that happen with yours?
At the end of her life, when, like, I didn't realize she was an alcoholic until I moved out, but my dad and her had their own child, who's my half sister, who is much younger than me, 13 years younger. And when I was around 20, I went back to their house. It was a classic, finding wine bottles in rubber boots in the back of the closet. And literally, I opened the fridge and there was like a whizzled up baked, or I don't know if it was a baked potato or just a potato, and two ketchup packages. And that was it in their fridge, where my little sister's trying to grow up, you know. Yeah. And I saw my mom's, like my original mom's teapot on the table, where at this house where I was visiting, and I'm like, oh, that's my mom's, you know, I'm going to take it. Mm-hmm. Because that woman was so drunk, my stepmother was so drunk, she wouldn't have noticed. And I went to get it off the table, and it wouldn't unstick from the tablecloth, and it felt heavy. So I look in there, and it was slime mold, John. It had been tea, and had been sitting there for about a year, and the tea had turned to slime mold in my mother's teapot. So yeah, it was really bad for my poor sister. Yep.
Yeah, and it was also weird because, like, I think my mom also had a drinking problem. It wasn't as bad, so it's weird to have like one alcoholic confronting like a worse alcoholic.
You drink too much.
Yeah, because then it's always like, well, you did this, and like, yeah, it just, I don't, yeah, that must have been, that was it.
But
yeah.
Look at us. Look at how healthy we are.
Oh, yeah. Just a picture of mental health over
That's
here.
That's us.
But I'm getting better. I've been going to see a therapist. It's been a while since I've done one, but until all this recent drama started happening, a lot of my opening monologues were basically like what I had spoken about with my therapist earlier that day, because I was going on Monday nights. But yeah, it comes up.
You earn the money doing the comedy to pay the therapist, right?
Yeah.
It just goes round and round.
Yeah. And, to be honest, over the summer, it wasn't in the summer. It was when I had my ill-fated trip to Halifax back in September. It was during their Fringe Festival, and I was hanging out with Gerard Harris. He's like a spoken word guy. He did our Fringe Festival, and I recognized him from that, and I went to like a storytelling workshop that was going on. But one night we hung out and had some drinks, and he was just telling me like about his perspective and stuff, and how he talked about how he was going to therapy, and it's really great for a storyteller because it helps you kind of unearth some of those old things that you haven't thought about. Which I haven't had a really as much of a chance to kind of go digging, because mostly I'm still at the stage where I'm just putting out like current fires before I can start digging into the old stuff. But
a wealth of material, though, eh?
Yeah, I'm sure it will come up, and it's nice to just have somebody there to just ask the questions and to.
Yep.
If I just give my version of it, then as far as I know, then that's what happened. But I feel like it would be interesting to have somebody be like, wait a minute, are you sure that that's how this played out? And are you sure it wasn't something like this? And I don't know, give you another perspective, something like that.
For sure.
But yeah, well, let's take another break, and we'll think of something to continue talking about after
All right.
the song.
So you're going to play a better tune now?
It's not better. It's just different. Let's see. Let's something with some. Oh, let's. Well, we're speaking of mental illness and going to therapy. So let's be Let's play a song called Spot the Psycho.
Perfect.
By the Cornbugs. Perfect. On St. John Forward Radio.
Woohoo!
I'll be your friend if you be mine. I'll take your brain, you take my spine. I'll take your feet, you take my eyes. And we'll lie back, stare at the skies. Spot psycho, spot psycho. Spot psycho, spot psycho. Spot psycho, spot the psycho. He's over here, he's over there, he's in your easy chair. Wow! Might be your dad, gas station attendant, or a college grad. Might be the president, or a man in jail. Just spot the psycho, he brings the mail. Spot the psycho, spot the psycho. Spot the psycho, spot the psycho. Spot the psycho, spot the psycho. She's over here, she's over there, she's in your underwear. Ah! His only friend's a vampire bat. His brain is fried like a double egg. He's got a knife, he'll make you beg. Spot the psycho, spot the psycho. Spot the psycho, spot the psycho. Spot the psycho, spot the psycho. He's over here, he's over there. He's in your easy chair. Wow! Spot the psycho, spot the psycho. And you be mine. I'll take your brain, you take my spine. I'll take your feet, you take my eyes. And we'll lie back, stare at the skies. Spot the psycho, spot the psycho. Spot the psycho, spot the psycho. Spot the psycho, spot the psycho. He's over here, he's over there. He's in your easy chair. Dad, gas station tenant, college grad, might be president, man in jail, but psycho, do not fail. Spot the psycho, spot the psycho. Spot the psycho, spot the psycho. Spot the psycho, spot the psycho. He's over here, he's over there, she's in your underwear.
Can I just say I like my song better?
I figured as much.
Mine had more musicality.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird. That's one that I just played because it's weird. That's not one that I often sit down and listen to.
Pogo too.
Cornbugs, for the listeners, if you're not familiar, that is a project by a guitar dude named Buckethead. He wears a Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket on his head and a mask. He's like a secret. He was briefly a guitar player in the reunited Guns N' Roses, I think is his main claim to fame. And the singer is actor Bill Moseley, who's been he's been in a bunch of horror movies. He was he got his big break. He was Chop Top in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre too.
And, just layers and layers of culture.
More recently, he played Otis in Rob Zombie's House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil Rejects.
I knew that.
And you did? You're familiar with the Rob Zombie horror oeuvre?
I didn't even know Liza Minnelli was in Arrested Development, John.
Yeah.
I would
have
been
if you haven't seen Arrested Development, you're probably not watching Rob Zombie movies.
CBC, that's me.
Oh, this is just as good. Okay. So you were talking about you were going to do some material about being in the doghouse.
Yeah.
Your partner is not a fan of your hobby. How do you navigate that? Like, is it just like an active I hate that, or is it just I don't care about that?
What would she say if she were here? She would. I have said to her, "You don't like comedy," and she goes, "I like comedy." And she's been to Just for Laughs in Montreal as a consumer, and she can name all kinds of people that I've never heard of. And my depth of comics is like not very deep.
Yeah.
So she is a fan of comedy, but she does. She's not a fan of being filleted by a pile of intestines. Like she'll walk out of a show, and we could have seen hundreds or heard hundreds and hundreds of funny things, and she'll pick up on that and be like, "Why? Who would say that?" You know. So,
yeah.
She's an introvert, incredibly introverted. I'm incredibly extroverted, and I can't imagine what she goes through, especially when we first met, because we met while I was still in Ken's class,
yeah.
Didn't know what I was doing, and then I go on a stage, and she must have been just cringing, like, "Don't go there, don't go there." And I did material about us with her permission, but after about three shows, she said to me, "I actually die when you do that." And especially when I got off the stage and went and sat with her and put my hand on her back, thus identifying her, like, she was croaking. So she doesn't come to a lot of the shows. I tell her which ones not to come to, and that's when I do some bits about us. And I do less shows than I would have probably if I wasn't with her, honestly. But that's okay. That's the balance, right?
Have you gotten in trouble because of something that you did?
Not yet.
No.
So, but everybody listening to this must not tell her that I'm doing that. I said the wrong name thing on the stage.
Yeah. Well, I personally get in some trouble because, especially the day of a show. I don't know if this happens to you too, but I get into kind of show mode, and I don't want to pay attention to anything else. And if they're kind of if the partner is seeking that attention, I can be kind of abrupt and dismissive. Is that
I would do a show, and then 2 days later I'd get an invitation to do another one, and I'd be like, "I got another invitation," and I was amazed, and she would be like, "Of course, the phone's always going to ring, and it's never going to stop." And I'm like, "It's just 2 hours every, 3 weeks." And she'd be like, "No, it's a week where you have glazed eyes and you're mumbling to yourself, So that's when I pulled back a bit.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
I just...
Especially when you're just starting out, right? I was rehearsing and rehearsing.
Yeah, well, I felt less guilty of it when it was brought up, because I just thought it was me just being a jerk, but I've discussed it with other people that are like musicians that are in relationships, and they're like, "Yeah, that happens every time to everybody. You just want to focus on that thing." And yeah, I try to be better about it, but I'm at least more preemptive. Like, it's not that it excuses my poor behavior, but I say, like, "This is coming up, so I'm probably going to be weird for a couple of days, and I apologize in advance." Like, this week, after handing out all those flyers all weekend, I'm feeling some pressure to make sure that I do a good show on Friday.
No, so. I am, too.
Well, I feel like it would be more of an embarrassment, particularly for me, having pulled my stunt and all, and for to have it all blow up in my face would just be that extra bit of punishment for me.
It won't blow up in your face. We'll have fun. It's going to be a great show.
No, I'm not dwelling on it.
I'm
that's what I'm going to be doing on my breaks at work all this week, going over and refining stuff. I took Friday off so that I could just be at home all day and run it over. I'll probably tell it to my cat 5 times in the basement.
That's one thing I'm still playing with, is how much do you practice and how much do you try to make it fresh,
Yeah, well, so that's something I'm still working on, too.
So many variables.
I'm trying to be looser, but not so... I have a bad memory, though, so it needs to be at least somewhat rehearsed.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's going back and forth. Like, you don't want to just be robotic and spewing out,
which
like a script.
I've been that, I think. I asked Mark Splude that once, like, "How much do you practice?" And he said, he said he hates practicing, so do I, but he said, "Whenever I didn't, Chris, I didn't do well." So that was good advice for me.
Yeah, I don't have to as much, but I definitely still need to, just because, I don't know. I'd rather practice and get it right than just be in the middle of it and forget what I'm saying and whatever.
There's a little beach right near our house, John, that you might not know about, but I in the three seasons I pace that beach.
Yeah.
And I'll put notes in the sand. Like you can do I'll do a line and say what time it is or what my next bit is, and I'll go up and down, up and down. I talk to myself like a mad woman by myself.
Yeah.
And notes in the sand, and I'm sure the neighbors are like, woo, there's that lady again.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to show me that sometime.
Yeah, I will.
But anyway, we're coming up to the end. So again, that show that we're talking about is this Friday, April 7th at O'Leary's.
O'Leary's.
8:30 to 11. Chris Trotter will be hosting. Comedy Boot Camp champion Matt Keenan's going to be on the show with Ben McDonald and Mark Splood, and I'll be headlining that one.
All my favorites.
So No Jokes Bar Deluxe, and you should get there early because I gave out 300 flyers, so there's going to be at least 200 people there.
Yeah, come early, get a good seat.
And then the R Bar is going to be the next Saturday, the 15th, but I'll talk more about that next week. This has been John Forward Radio, and thank you, Chris Trotter, for joining me.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you.
And we'll be back next week, Monday at 9. Good night. Thank you.